Hey, no, 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 no.
Canada's the dumbest country on the planet, and so are most of the Canadians that voted for this. I'm not even kidding. You guys are so dumb that you don't even realize the police chief is trying to tell you right now to lose all ability for your survival skills. That's the PSYOPs. So if you don't know what's going on, we had a guy break into a home in Welland, Ontario, and rape a five-year-old child. He essayed a five-year-old child while the parents were sleeping. And you want to know what's happened to him? Nothing. He's out on bail.
You just will not believe the depths of the stupidity coming out of Canada, Hamilton, Ontario, more specifically, in a country where crime is running rampant, criminals are running around with real guns and real bullets while the citizens are being disarmed, homes are being broken into left, right, and center. Now the city of Hamilton is saying you can't have security cameras on your own property.
There are 10 security cameras mounted outside of Dan Miles' Hamilton home. He says they've been a valuable tool for crime fighting.
I've actually participated in evidence sharing of 3 homicides on these cameras, over 40 break-and-enters, multiple home invasions.
So it came as a surprise when the city of Hamilton asked Miles to remove all of his cameras.
There's also updated advice for all vehicle owners, a message echoed by Toronto police speaking at an Etobicoke safety meeting last month. Constable Marco Ricciardi had a new message for vehicle owners who keep their fobs in Faraday pouches.
To prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your fobs at your front door. Because they're breaking into your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else. A lot of them that they're arresting have guns on them, and they're not toy guns, they're real guns. They're loaded.
Thank you, Chair. Chief Roskamp, is Canada currently releasing repeat offenders out on bail that are a threat to public safety?
I believe in some situations they are.
In Vancouver, just a couple years ago, there was a report that 40 individuals, prolific offenders, were responsible for over 6,300 incidents with police in just a small period of time. In your estimation, what percent of crime that's being committed in your community is being committed by a small number of criminals, repeat offenders, or individuals already well known to police?
I would say it is above 80%.
And while Eric over here is opposed to having people on house arrest, we do have to acknowledge the fact that our prison system is incredibly costly. Housing somebody within the prison system is a huge burden on taxpayers versus having them on house arrest, for instance.
And now, fast forwarding to 2025, and the government's coughing up billions in settlements, papering over the festering wounds of dispossession in order to slice Canada up into fragmented provinces under a new world order.
Private ownership is in jeopardy.
A precedent that will flow from this case is that sections 23 and 25 of the Land Title Act do not apply to Aboriginal title. Those are not my words. Those are the judge's words, paragraph 3551.
Another possible outcome of all of this land grab activity going on in Canada right now is that if this continues, what's going to happen is Canada is going to break apart in a very short period of time. We're talking a few short years, maybe. And Saskatchewan and Alberta are going to separate, and that will immediately be horrific for our already brutalized economy. And then the rest of Canada is basically up for grabs for the lowest bidder. And we'll either be scooped up by China or the United States. I would personally prefer the United States.
It's a floodgate for chaos, leaving now native Canadians wondering if their deed is just a fancy IOU to the ghosts of 1874, as they undergo a private land raping by the New World Order communism, disguised as Prime Minister Carney's liberal Canadian politeness.
We should be taking into account the impact of our flying on the planet now. And that's
for pushing up the tax on flying.
You push up the tax on flying, you push up the cost on transport, and that's in part what putting a price on carbon is.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Alex Jones, Patriot.
A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world. Yes!
Welcome back to the American Journal, kicking off obviously the second hour of the program, and we're excited that you are all joining us on the American Journal. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Thank you for spending your time with us. We're doing this kind of best moments on the American Journal, and we're highlighting some of our key stories. So it just happens that a lot of these stories are going to be based on Islam and exposing what's happening right now in this country. It's an Islamic takeover, and it's important that we address just that. But before we dive into the details, I want to remind you all that we are doing our Black Friday sales right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. We're doing the buy one, get one free on all supplements while supplies last. So you're going to want to drop what you're doing right now and head on over to the shop and stock up on all your favorites, because this sale will not last for much longer. Also, we're doing 25% off on all apparel as well. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. So now is the time to head on over to the Alex Jones store and stock up. All right, let's shift gears over to what we're going to be discussing in this hour, because this one's important. As many of you guys know, Father Calvin Robinson is someone who has immigrated from the UK over to the US. If you're wondering why, well, a lot of things have happened over in the UK that have many getting ready to flee. Number one, obviously, they don't believe in free speech, but most importantly, they have been taken over by Islamists. And there's no other way to look at it. What's happened right now is you see all of their politicians have sacrificed their people to Pakistanis and others. And so if you're someone who loves your country and doesn't want your children to be sexually assaulted, potentially your girls and your wives, you pick up and you got to go. You got to go. Calvin Robinson is a patriot, but he has sadly had to flee. But he's coming to this country, to the United States, to do us all a service. And if you're wondering what that service is, that is warning the American people as to what is up ahead if we do not get into this fight and prevent Islam from taking over our country. Throughout Europe, it has destroyed Europe. Young girls even know this. They can't walk around their streets anymore because there's barbarians who are running around and they're looking to attack because they view non-believers, women, as sexual objects. And their Quran doesn't condemn that level of behavior. In fact, it encourages it, as if it's a reward somehow. And they're doing their very best to take over. The idea here is to spread across the West, and it looks like they've conquered the UK. And here they are doing just that in the United States. We're seeing it obviously in Dearborn, Michigan. We cover that quite often on the show. And if you live in the state of Texas like I do, well, you're seeing it front and center. But most people don't even realize how bad things are getting because, and I keep reminding them, keep in mind, places like Plano, they stay within their little compounds. They own 400 acres now, and they don't go anywhere. And you could drive down these streets. They might try to stop you or surveil you or run your plates, but you're allowed to go over there and just take a look around. First, you'll notice that the street signs are named after Islamic conquerors. I'm sure that's a coincidence, of course. And then you'll notice that they have their own businesses, their own supermarkets, so they don't have to leave that little hub. That's why so many Americans don't realize how bad things are getting. Now, sadly, our politicians, just like the UK, refuse to step in with concrete policies to end this mass migration. We saw last week the State Department actually putting out a statement talking about mass migration, how it's affected those in the West. But what's being done? Well, how are we trying to block this? Well, not much is being done. Not much. In the state of Texas, we have a governor named Greg Abbott, and he's been governor for quite some time now. He's actually looking for another term, and that's why you see Greg Abbott coming out in Texas and saying, oh, I'm going to ban Sharia law. We're going to add the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE onto a terror watch list or designate them as terrorist organizations, whatever he wants to say. The reality of it is he has been governor for quite some time now, and he's jumping on board because now all of a sudden Americans are waking up. That's why you watch InfoWars, because you understand the mainstream media will never cover it. But we will. So all across the country, especially in Texas, they are watching InfoWars and they are being enlightened about the Islamic threat that's taking place right now in this country. Greg Abbott, though, is just starting to get enlightened. Now, again, they've allowed these foreign groups to purchase land here. And of course, they're not going to be transparent and come off as the Muslim Brotherhood looking to purchase 400 acres. Greg Abbott saying that, oh, he's going to ban them from buying land. Well, that's great, Greg Abbott. That's really great. But what are you going to do to stop them? Because the Muslim Brotherhood is not sitting here and signing on the dotted line to purchase land here in Texas. They have an arsenal of attorneys, and they're not afraid to unleash them. We saw that at a press conference when CARE came forward and denied all of the allegations that they faced through Greg Abbott, and they're now suing because they don't want to be designated as a terrorist organization. But if you've spoken to people who have been on the legal side of CARE, you know that they have gone after these people like no other organization has ever. It's something that's worth pushing back on. It's something that's worth fighting for. This country is worth fighting for. And although I'll never tell you that you should burn a Quran, slap bacon on it, because that will probably put you at risk, we know that those who have done that, especially over in Europe, have been executed. In fact, one was killed on a live stream for burning a Quran. He was simply in his home when these Muslim terrorists invaded his home, broke into his home, and killed him on his live stream. So I'm not going to tell you to do that because I care for you. But I will tell you that now is time to speak up, because if you don't speak up now, we are going to lose this country. You have to inform your friends and family of what's going on here and challenge them. Tell them to go Google the Quran itself and find verses that tell them to go after non-believers, and you'd be enlightened. Calvin Robinson joined us on this program to enlighten us as to what's up ahead. Take a listen. We talked about a story in Dearborn, Michigan, not too long ago, and it was very interesting. I want to bring it back to the front of all of this, because it's very interesting, because the mayor of Dearborn, he was lecturing a Christian about coexisting, and he pretty much told this Christian man that he is not wanted in their community. Take a listen.
Hezbollah, bombed the embassy in Beirut, and including many Americans. So I just feel that's quite inappropriate.
You are an Islamophobe. And although you live here, I want you to know, as mayor, you are not welcome here. And the day you move out of the city will be the day that I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you moved out of the city, because you are not somebody who believes in coexistence.
You know, it's almost laughable when a Muslim man talks to you about coexistence. They have taken over Dearborn, Michigan, and it's heartbreaking to see the updates. It's heartbreaking to hear what's actually happening. And they just want the rest of us to just comply. They're not looking to coexist. They're looking to take over Michigan. And we have endless pieces of proof of just that. And the fact that they're going to be lecturing their own Christian residents to get out if they don't like it tells you all that you need to know. Joining me now to discuss is Father Calvin Robinson. He has been in this fight for quite some time across the pond, and now bringing it to the United States. He is looking to push back because the United States is worth saving, and he understands that what's unraveled in the UK over the years is our future if we don't aggressively push back. So it is an honor to have him on today's show. Father Robinson, I want to thank you for being here. You know, you wanted to push back on that mayor, and so I saw you post on X yesterday that you made an appearance over the week, and sadly, he wasn't present during the, I believe it was the City Hall meeting. So walk us through that.
Absolutely. So I saw this clip that you showed where the mayor of Dearborn, Mayor Hamoud, told Pastor Ed, a Christian pastor, that he's no longer welcome. And actually, he went as far as to say, "I'll hold a celebration when you leave," which I thought was quite divisive of him, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Not very inclusive. And he put this big show on to say that you're Islamophobic because you don't support our idea of naming a street after Suleiman, who happens to be a supporter of Hezbollah. Now, I think any American or any Westerner, anyone who lives in Christendom, would say, we don't name streets after terrorist sympathizers. It's quite a strange thing to want to do. But when you have an area that's run by a Mohammedan mayor, you kind of expect it. Anyway, this Christian pastor pushed back, and the mayor pushed him back, and I thought it was inappropriate. So I went down to the next City Hall meeting in Dearborn. I obviously live and serve in Michigan now, so I drove over there to the City Hall, and he wasn't there. I wanted to confront him face-to-face and speak to him in person and say, how dare you, in a Christian country, persecute and oppress Christians for speaking up for the truth in concern of you supporting terrorist sympathisers, renaming streets in a Christian country after a Mohammedan terrorist sympathiser. It's outrageous. Fortunately, there were a number of floor speeches that were fantastic that evening. One of them by a local Turning Point chapter spokesman called Noah Mullins, who spoke out to say, this is where I was born. As a Christian man, as an American man, I don't want to see what's happening over there in Britain happen over here in Dearborn, Michigan, where the Mohammedans essentially take over. There was a wonderful woman called Andy who spoke out and said, The call to prayer has been implemented across Dearborn. So they pray that Adhan, you know, that screeching they make five times a day. From 5:30 in the morning, they play that over loudspeakers into people's homes, into schools' playgrounds. And this Christian woman got up to say, I'm not very happy with it, it needs to stop. The police chief, the DEI police chief, Shaheen, I think his surname is, said, oh, well, it's just the same as church bells, isn't it? They equate everything as if it's just, no, it's not just the same. To hear Christian church bells in a Christian country is expected, firstly. Secondly, it's not five times a day. Thirdly, it's not at 5:30 in the morning. Fourthly, it's not on loudspeakers. Fifthly, it's not blasted into people's homes and into school playgrounds. And it's this constant, oh, well, you must accept everything we do because it's a faith and all faiths are equal and everything's the same. It's not the same. Islam is clearly counter to Christianity. This is clearly a Christian country. And actually, they shouldn't try to take over.
Yeah, and that's the reality that they don't want to deal with, right? They came here. They wanted to live in our country, and we welcome them because we actually do want to coexist with others. But it's not the same on their side of all of this. And, you know, you just cited the DEI police chief. I actually want to play clip 17 because it walks you through all of this. Take a listen.
Two or three violations that we have had in the last couple of years have been met with compliance as soon as we've talked to the religious institutions. It's no different than church bells that you might hear on Sunday.
Shame.
Yeah. Please, okay.
The ordinance.
No outbursts from the crowd, please. Okay, folks, if you'd like to address the crowd, you can fill out a card and we can have you speak, okay?
The ordinance prohibits.
Yeah, that's no church bell. And it gets a little bit better because Alex Jones actually posted a video the other day online. And I want to play clip 18 for you a little bit because it tells you what really is going on in Dearborn and what these people who live there have to listen to. Take a listen.
Can you imagine waking up to that every single morning?
I don't even know.
And so in that clip, you can hear when the police chief is trying to say that this is okay, this is appropriate because it's just the same as church bells. You can hear me in the background saying, shame, shame on you for equating that. And of course, the president of the council tries to shut me down and say, if you want to talk, we can't interrupt, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is that this is not the same. This is foreign. It's actually worse than foreign. It's horrible noise and people don't deserve to have that noise pollution in their homes. But it goes against the city ordinance. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed loudspeakers to blast things out, whether it's for your faith or not, but because they are Mohammedan, it's allowed, isn't it? And it's all about this inclusivity and this diversity. And the police chief is the same police chief who says we need more Mohammedans, or he doesn't use that word, on the police force because it needs to be more representative of our communities. How about having people that are good at their job, that, you know, find criminals and arrest them? That should be your priority as a police chief, surely, not what color skin they have or what faith they have. It's absurd that they're still jumping through these woke bandwagons when we have a president who said woke is dead. It's time to end it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the part here that's really critical because they don't want to end it all. And it's sad because, you know, I come from New York and New York is also dealing with this kind of takeover as well. And they are blasting the prayer in certain parts of New York City. And very few people are pushing back on it. They're actually afraid to do just that. And it's sad because this would not be tolerated if it were any other group of people. We just tolerate it, though, because sadly, like we see in the UK, I think people just fear Islam, and they fear those who criticize will get attacked. And I think that's what people are so just quiet and compliant with all of this is because they fear going out there and what the repercussions of all this might be. But there's a couple of people that aren't fearful. And I want to play this for you because Senator Tommy Tuberville, who we had on the show yesterday, after he left our show, he actually made his way to the Senate floor and he spoke about banning Sharia law, which I actually think isn't a thing anymore it's not a thing at all because Sharia law isn't something that you could actually implement here in the United States. But most importantly, he's calling out the genocide that's going on right now in Nigeria, which very few people are willing to say because Christians are being slaughtered by Islamic terrorists. Take a listen.
You also won't hear from Democrats about how radical Islamic terrorists are currently carrying out a mass genocide of Christians in Nigeria. Think about this. More than 62,000 Christians have been slaughtered since 2000 by radical Islamic terrorists in Nigeria. You heard that right, 62,000. And just this year alone, more than 7,000 Nigerian Christians have been murdered because of their faith alone. You can't turn on the TV without hearing about Israel's so-called mass genocide of Palestinians every day. And yet when it comes to 62,000 Christians being slaughtered by radical Muslims, it's radio silence. This extreme ideology is straight from the pit of hell, and it has no place in American society. We are blessed that freedom of worship is a constitutional guaranteed right in this country. That's what our forefathers fought for. If you want to come here legally, practice a peaceful version of Islam, and blend into our society by adopting the treasured American values of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you are welcome to do so. But if you believe that Sharia law supersedes American law, you should be deported immediately.
Now, we have a small group of politicians that are willing to speak out on this issue, Tuberville being one of them. He's running for governor in Alabama, too, right now. And groups like Hare aren't very happy with his open criticism of their so-called religion. And so they have attacked him. But I wanted to ask you, Father Robinson, because you would know better than anyone else. You come from the UK. You've seen what's unraveled there because politicians were too weak to stand up for their country and stand up for Christian values. Why do you think it's really important for people like Tuberville and Moore to come out and speak out against this issue?
It's vital because if people don't integrate, they take over, they dominate. And at the moment, this was pointed out at the council meeting by a young chap called Ryan, in that at the moment there are Americans who are Muslim, but there are also Muslims in America. And there's a key difference. Anyone that comes to America should integrate into American culture if they're going to become a citizen, they should become American. What you can't have is people who come over to America and bring their own culture, bring their own ideology, and want to implement that here. And we've seen it happen in my homeland, in Britain. There are 85 Sharia courts in Britain. So the Islamic law, Sharia, is more common in Britain than anywhere else in Europe combined. That's a lot of Sharia courts. And that means that they have their own legal system operating parallel to the law of the land. It should be illegal. You know, but for one example, polygamy has been illegal in the UK for a long time. However, Mohammedans come over to our land with a wife back home, and they come over and they marry another wife in Britain. Therefore, they're committing polygamy. Sometimes they bring their wives with them. Sometimes they've got three wives in the same house. And it's outstanding that we let them get away with this. But that's just the start of the slippery slope. The things that they do and enact are far worse. But the problem is, by their culture, by their own law, their legal system, it's allowed. And if we allow them to bring their own culture and their own legal system with them, how can we stop them? So at the beginning, when you invite these people in, you have to say assimilate or go home. Otherwise, your entire culture, your entire society is at risk.
Yeah, no, it is at risk. And sadly, I think most people don't realize we are walking a very thin line right now, and we need everyone's hands on deck in this fight. I also wanted to turn before you go to a topic that I know is clearly close to you. There's an archbishop in Canterbury, it looks like, who has now been brought in. And this is somebody who is supporting abortion. We've got her photo right now. She's supporting abortion. She is woke. She's a feminist. And she supports critical race theory. It's strange to see a female take on this role. Not strange. It just shouldn't be. But I know this is a topic that you've been sounding off on. So give us a little bit of insight on what's going on here.
I mean, you raised all the good points there, in that a woman cannot become an archbishop because a woman can't become a priest. That's, well, by definition, that's a priestess. So we don't have those in Christianity. And that's not because we're sexist or misogynistic. It's because in Christianity, we realize that men and women are not interchangeable. Men cannot become women. Women cannot become men. Men cannot become mothers. Women cannot become priests. They are two distinct vocations, very God-called vocations that are important to our way of life. And actually, men and women complement each other. And the church has different roles for both. And so when we have women stepping into this role, what we have is transgenderism in the church. And indeed, there is an actual transgender archdeacon, as well as the woman archbishop. So it gets worse and worse. But why is it a problem for her in particular? Well, I know Dame Sarah Malawi. She is the one who refused to have me ordained in the Church of England because I wouldn't subscribe to Black Lives Matter. And she said to me, the church is institutionally racist. And I was like, this is clearly woke. You're shoveling Marxism into the church. It has no place there. But she's come out and said, I'm not pro-life. We can't have a pro-choice or a pro-abortion Christian leader. It goes against the faith. She's pro-LGBTQ, saying that she believes in same-sex blessings, some of which are sexual in nature. Sounds like gay marriage. And again, something that can exist in the secular world can't exist within the church. These things have meanings. To a Christian, marriage is a lifelong, indissoluble union between one man and one woman for the blessings of that couple, the community, and for the procreation to go forth and multiply. You can't do that with two men. You can't do that with two women. Okay? And these things are sinful in the eyes of God. He's called these things abhorrent, so we can't ask him to bless them. Likewise with abortion. The greatest genocide in human history. Women have killed more humans through abortion than men have killed in all wars, famines, and pestilence combined. That's how many people were killing since abortion was decriminalized in the 60s and 70s. It's absurd that we are living through the darkest ages in human history, and actually we don't even recognize it. And worse than that, we have Christian leaders who are enforcing and encouraging it. It's despicable. It's a disgrace. She should be gone. And anyone that supports that needs to be taught the truth of the Christian faith, that we faith, hope, and love. We love every single human life because every life is sacred. Therefore, we can't promote Black Lives Matter because all lives matter. We can't promote abortion because babies matter, whether they're born or unborn. And we can't support same-sex marriage because marriage means something, a man and a woman in a lifelong indissoluble union. And so someone who's leading the faith that is going against all of that needs to be fired.
Yeah. I mean, it's common sense, but here's my follow-up on that. Because, you know, I've continued to travel around to cities, and I'm watching as these churches are putting these flags in their windows, these BLM flag, these LGBT flags. And I'm wondering, how do we even get to this point? Because I don't remember seeing this throughout my childhood, even going to New York City quite often. But now it feels like it's going, it feels like it's everywhere at this point. How have we gotten to this point where these churches are making these types of political statements and accepting the fact that men and men could get married and they could have surrogacy and they could have children? And it's not something that's anywhere in the Bible, or there's no actual map for any of this. And yet for some reason, they're misinterpreting the Bible and pretending like this is all acceptable.
It's very simple. People want to be nice people. They want to be compassionate. Yeah. And that's a good thing. But it's misguided in that we're not supposed to affirm people where they are. And the modern church wants to say, you know, God loves you as you are. You know, you're welcome as you are. And that's not true. God wants better for us. He wants us to stop sinning and become like him, right? And that's a lifelong task, a mission that we'll never perfect in this world. But it's something we're striving towards. And so when we leave people in their sin, we're leading them towards damnation, unfortunately. The Christian message is to sin no more. Christ spent time with all kinds of people, tax collectors and prostitutes, but it was not he who went away changed, it was them. And that's the Christian message we have to return to. We have to start teaching about sin. What is sin and why to avoid it and how to teach proper true love. And true love is, if you love someone, you want them to go to heaven. If you want them to go to heaven, you want them to stop sinning. Therefore, stop affirming people in their sin and start leading them to Christ.
Yes. Well, thank you, Father Calvin Robinson, for joining the show today. I think that's a really important message that we need to get out there. So I appreciate you joining us, of course. And you are an incredible fighter. Make sure you all give him a follow right now on X. It's at Calvin Robinson. That's at Calvin Robinson. We appreciate your time, sir. So thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you as well.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about...
I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene, Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and they're all the best. The turmeric, the list goes on and on. Where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product because it has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal. And every day we're running flash sales that change each day on top of it. We're doing this because we know a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. You'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a loss leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing of anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air and be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay because we've got the Auctions Network, we've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at theauctionstore.com, because it doesn't just fund InfoWars, as we find to stay on here, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. And again, I don't own theauctionstore.com. I don't own the Auctions Network. Bigly does. And so I'm just going to work there and be the news director, and we're going to continue on, and they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, because we'll never give up, never back down, never give in, we could give out, is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other, as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates. You share them everywhere. You take the clips, you take the articles, you take the video links, and that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money so we sell you great products that really work. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high quality food at reasonable prices, so you want to come back, there's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You've just got to come into our restaurant. You just got to come in and try the Ultra Methylene Blue or the Sea Moss or the other products and see how great it is. And that's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free, and other huge discounts right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWar has existed. It will continue on despite a URL, because I am the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And yeah, they're striking back. And boy, we're in the thick of a big war here, but you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this, the other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the InfoWar. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and God bless you all.
Joining me now to discuss is Larry Taunton. He's the host of Ideas Have Consequences, and he's with us now. Larry, I want to thank you for being here, because this is a big topic. A lot of Americans, like myself, are really fired up when we see our former city. I mean, I'm a New Yorker. Get taken over by what we've been warning people about for far too long now, and that is this Islamic communist takeover that's sweeping both the UK, obviously, now has made its way here to the United States, and so many people thought it was just fear-mongering, but we're here now, and now Zohar Ramadani is making his way into the White House. Now, I've told people I don't agree with this. I think this should have been a phone call. Many people telling me, no, they disagree. This is good. President Trump should look him straight in the eyes and deal with him directly. What are your thoughts about this meeting that's going to be taking place in just a few hours?
Well, I think Donald Trump is a guy that has always believed that if he can get in front of an individual, that he can meet with them, that he can reason with them. And of course, that that idea can be a bit naive, as we're seeing now with Putin and some of the things that have gone on there. But listen, President Trump, just as you just said, he's not a guy who's going to be pushed around. I don't think he has any illusions about Islam or about communism. And Mamdani, listen, the Muslims have cracked the code on the West. Mamdani is a jihadist, first and foremost. Now, the joke you didn't say, I suspect, is the one that immediately came to my mind when you mentioned that he was on a plane, and that is that he might just fly it into the...
Larry, you took our joke. That was the joke I was afraid to say on air. Yeah, they said, someone said, it's easier to hijack a plane than a train.
Well, it absolutely is true. And as we know, they have a penchant, for doing these kinds of things. But listen, Muslims realize, the jihadists realize, that the way to penetrate the West is not to come as Muslims. It's not to push that ideology, because they recognize that it's not a good marketing strategy. But they see the same polls that you and I see, Brianna, and that is that millennials and Gen Zers have a favorable opinion regarding socialism. And so that's the Trojan horse in which the jihadists are hiding, whether it's Ilhan Omar, whether it's Saqib Khan, or whether it's Mamdani.
Yeah, and I just got actually a push alert notification that 86 Democrats right now in the House actually just voted in line with Republicans in condemning socialism in this country. And as many of us know at home right now, Democrats have been completely taken over. So that tells me that there's about 86 House Democrats who still have an ounce of patriotism and don't actually despise this country, which again isn't the majority, but here we are these days having to combat all of this. You know, as you just detailed too, they have, and you guys are so good at this, that was actually just came out from Fox a moment ago. I wanted to also highlight this too, Larry, because, you know, I sat back and have been for a very long time now trying to my best with others to bring the attention to this Islamic takeover that's coming to the United States. For years now, there are people like Amy Mack, we've watched Laura Loomer as well, come out there and try to warn Americans that this was coming. And now we're here. Now we're dealing with this here on the front lines. What can Americans expect? Because we've seen it played out, obviously, throughout the UK and Europe, and it isn't really going well for them.
Yeah, exactly, Brianna. I think the template for them is London. Saqib Khan's London, which has radically, radically changed. Listen, I was a student there, 30 years ago. And over the years, each time I go back, I find that it has increasingly become less English, less British. Now it's Londonistan. And that's the goal here for New York. This is the same strategy, by the way, that they're using all over the world. I've seen this in North Africa. I've seen it in Nigeria. I've seen it in Europe. I have seen it in the UK, and now we're about to start seeing it here in the United States writ large, and not just Dearborn, but now we're going to see it in New York.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really concerning, and I don't think people understand it. And, you know, I wanted to play this clip for you, clip 11, because everyone knows now I live in Plano, Texas. It's out there because I had to post a video and needed people to help me out with catching someone who followed me into my apartment complex. And it's a big issue in Texas. I've gone to the public hearing that just recently happened a couple of months back in regards to EPIC. Now, that's the East Plano Islamic Center. They have now rebranded themselves because EPIC didn't go over well for them when they had the word Islam in it. It caught a lot of attention and national attention thanks to the great work of Amy Mack and the Rare Foundation again. But they've done an incredible report, and they released it yesterday. I want to play clip 11 for you. It's a partial clip of what they just put out. It has to do with the mosque. It has to do with an individual who's telling the individuals at the mosque that, yeah, you can hit your women, your wives, but don't leave a mark and don't kill them. And that's their way of being empathetic. Take a listen, because I don't, they're going to tell you, oh, they didn't say that. Take a listen to their own words in this clip.
The latest shocking scandal out of Plano, Texas, straight into the heart of what is known as the Islamic Association of Collin County, the Plano Masjid. This isn't just a local mosque story. This is about what kind of ideology Texas is now willing to reward with your tax dollars. I'm talking about Imam Arsalan Haque. Born in Pakistan, Haque is a leading advocate of Sharia in the Dallas area. And in his own sermons, he spells out exactly what that looks like for women, for families, and for our communities. In one sermon at the Plano Masjid, Imam Haq tells husbands they may hit their wives as long as it's done in the proper context and only, quote, to bring her back to her senses.
Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does tell the husband to do a physical action of darb, which the ulama mention means to hit lightly without leaving a mark on the body anywhere with something like a siwak or something like that, or like a push or like a hit on the chest to bring her back to her senses.
Because Imam Haq doesn't stop at contextual wife beating. In another sermon at a different Dallas-Fort Worth mosque, Haq warns men that they may not beat their wives, quote, to the extent they die.
One of the things that Allah Azza wa Jal tells us to do in certain situations, and we don't have time to go into details, is to use physical discipline. Yes, the ayah is there to be used in the right way at the right time, but not to beat our wives to the extent that they die.
So we're being told that it's okay to beat your wives. Just don't leave a mark and don't kill them. People keep telling me when we push back on the Islam issue that this is not the belief of the Muslim population here in the United States. But then when people like this come and speak at their mosque, I don't hear any criticism about this. And the fact that the Rare Foundation is putting out this piece of evidence, this is what's going on inside of these mosques. By the way, Texan taxpayers, you're funding these mosques. We know that millions and millions of dollars has been shifted over thanks to Greg Abbott. Although he plays down like he's not a part of any of this. Now he wants to pretend like he's pushing back. That doesn't seem to be the case when you look at the financial breakdown of all of this. But to get back to the core of this, when you sit here and you talk to Muslim Americans or those who have come to this country and are practicing Islam, they tell us that this is not what's actually going on, that this is a myth. But the Rare Foundation continues to find these videos online of their own live streams, and they use it against them by just posting it out there and letting people decide for themselves. Why is it that they cover up for all of this, but they seem to have no shame at talking about this at their local mosques? Larry?
Yes. I'm sorry, Brianna. My immediate reaction to that is to say this is really the mild stuff. This is the part that it would be very shocking to Americans. This is the really, really mild stuff. Islam is by definition misogynistic. Muslim men can, according to Islamic law, have as many as four wives and countless concubines. Women have no rights. They are simply property. And the things that we've been seeing with these rape gangs, these grooming gangs in places like Rotherham, other parts of the UK, as many as a quarter of a million British white girls have been trafficked, according to the Times of London, on an industrial scale. And people say, well, that's not real Islam. No, it is real Islam. Women are being sold right now as we speak on the Arabic version of the app For Sale, which is available on for download on the Apple App Store as well as the Google App Store. In spite of the fact there's been many complaints that this needs to be removed. And those Muslims in the United States who are saying this isn't real Islam, to me, and I say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, they're like Methodists. I mean, they don't really take their holy literature particularly seriously. What we call radical Islam or militant Islam is really just Orthodox Islam. They're the people who are taking the Quran, the Hadith, and the life of Muhammad, which they are supposed to model themselves after, very, very seriously. And I want to point this out too, Brianna. What does Scripture say? It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, I want you to compare that to what we're seeing here, you know, in these videos of Islam. This is the reality of Islam.
Yeah, and I think that's a big issue here because I don't think a lot of people like to talk about it. All you do is just do a simple Google search. I constantly am being told, Larry, by people who want to push back against it. And again, I welcome an argument, a debate about this topic itself because we need to have an open discussion on this without the emotions exploding. But the reality of it is time and time again, if you just simply Google, what does the Quran say about violence in regards to non-believers? It quickly pulls up over 100 verses that validate committing acts of violence against non-believers. And people don't want to come to that understanding that that's what it says. And I think it's more of just a cover-up rather than accepting the literature there. You could maybe debate that maybe 50 of them at best aren't directly issuing violent threats against non-believers. But the reality of it is we know also that the Quran allows for, we've seen many of these Islamic speakers go out to these mosques. And again, the Rare Foundation just keeps posting this stuff up, validating, capturing non-believers and using them as sex slaves. And it's okay because if they're not non-believers, then the Quran validates it. And they go out and they put these messages out there. And it's not a fear-mongering campaign because, truth be told, I don't mind coexisting with people of other religious beliefs. But this isn't a religion that I want anything to do with. In fact, I'd probably argue that this isn't a religion in the first place. This is not something that here in the United States anyone should want. And it's deeply, deeply concerning to me, you know. Larry, I know you spent some time in Egypt just recently, and I keep talking about the story, but I want to remind people I covered what happens in the UK, what happens throughout Europe in regards to women being followed by these men from the Middle East who their countries have now imported. And then suddenly I found myself on the receiving end of all of this. There was an Egyptian man who's claiming not to be Muslim, but he somehow made his way into this country. And he told law enforcement in Plano, Texas, again, which has been conquered by this mass migration movement through H-1B visas and everything else that's gone on over these last few years. But he told police that he thought I was attractive and wanted to follow me. And as you can see, again, police wouldn't help me. As you see in this footage, though, he followed me into my apartment complex, not saying anything to me, though, followed me for over a block and a half running behind me, and then waited until I got into my building to try to confront me. He has since been arrested, but it was only because I threatened to sue the Plano Police Department, who didn't want to hand me this footage and wanted to dismiss it. But it's not just me who this has happened to with this individual. He has also, by the way, admitted to following me into my building and trespassing, although I believe he's entered a not guilty verdict so far in the courts. But it's not just me. Another woman, after seeing this video go viral, also told me that in the Frisco, Texas area, that she actually has had brush-ups with him, that five times he's followed her and has gone into her place of employment. She manages a spa and he went in and he won't leave. And he's creepy. He talks about his sex life to her. And in fact, she went into the Plano Police Department again after she saw my footage to put this on their radar as well, that she is another victim of all of this. And the Plano Police Department told her to leave. Now, the reason why I keep bringing this stuff up, because this isn't just happening in the UK, in Europe. This is happening here in the United States. This is happening in Texas, out of all places. The only way I got him out of my building was because I pulled a firearm on him, and then he quickly ran out the building and admitted that to police. But the reality of it is here. I want you to talk about this because you travel. You've been to Egypt. These men who we are importing into this country do not understand boundaries. They see us as prey, and they are preying upon women who are in this country, natives of this country. Why is stuff like this so custom for them? Like, they're just okay with this. They think this is okay behavior and acceptable behavior, when in fact, those who live in this country know it's not.
Well, exactly. Let's pick up with a thread of something that you just said, Brianna. You said that you're not sure that it's even really a religion, that it's more of an ideology. Well, that's exactly the case. And you see, many Americans are uncomfortable with the idea of suppressing religion. And so because this is being imported under that under the guise of that, Americans have been indoctrinated with the idea of religious freedom. But we're actually talking about here an ideology of conquest, and one that is not simply, you know, incompatible with our way of life, it's incompatible with our laws. When Islam is lived according to the Quran, according to the Hadith, according to the model provided by Muhammad, it is absolutely antithetical to our laws. They don't believe in freedom. They don't believe in freedom of speech. They're anti-Semitic by definition. By definition, they do not believe in religious freedom. They don't believe in any of these things. So the kinds of things that you're talking about experiencing, you know, I've seen this video, you've shown it to me, and It's quite horrifying. This guy following you into your building. This is the kind of stuff that is happening all over the world, except usually the outcome is very, very different than the outcome that you had. And that is because Islam teaches that this is okay. It says that unbelievers, that non-Muslim women, that they are spoils of war, and that rape, that misogyny, that abuse, sex trafficking, all that stuff is okay, that it's all okay. And this is the part that Americans do not get about this religion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's deeply concerning. And again, he's claiming to be actually not Muslim, but he somehow got into this country. And I'm trying to figure out how continuously, because we know a lot of these individuals who potentially, and I don't know if he's seeking refugee status or what his status is. I've asked DHS repeatedly. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten any information on this. But just from speaking from experience and the stories I've covered and not applying it to this gentleman, Harvey, that you see here on your screen, I know that when they come to this country, they tend to lie, and they think it's okay to lie to get in. So I truly don't believe he's claiming to be a Coptic Christian. I don't see that here, especially after my interaction and several other women who have contacted me about him as well. So it's something we need to keep our eye on. You know, I keep telling women to find a way to defend yourself. Carry if you can. If you live in a state where you're allowed to, go to the range, shoot as much as you can. We need to be the ones to take our own protection into our own hands, because when you go to law enforcement, they won't do just that. Everyone seems to be afraid here, and it's really quite an absolute disgrace. To our audience, I want to remind you all that Larry hosts a great show over on YouTube, so give him a follow. Ideas have consequences. You do an incredible job at outlining a lot of great different topics like these, of course, and you catch the attention of people who I say don't like what you have to say, but they're people that are enemies of this great country and the movement that we have started. So Larry, you're doing a great job. So I'd highly recommend our audience go head on over to your YouTube page as well as your Twitter and give you a follow. Larry, thank you for joining me today. It was an honor to have you on the show, but we look forward to having you back as well.
Great to be with you, Brianna. Take care.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion.
I wanted to speak about Islam because it's very easy for us to do the classic, and I think that's what they want us to do, divide and conquer. And the problem is that people are confused. They think this is about religion. This is about authoritarian versus a libertarian existence. That top horizontal bar is the lie that we've been told, that there is far left, far right, and in the middle is, you know, democracy. When in fact, what it is it's socialism in the middle. So they've lied to us, and they've made us think that there's this thing called far left, which is supposed to be very different from far right. It's a lie. What is true is that the real, you know, spectrum is from total government to anarchy. And constitutional republic is just slightly below anarchy. It's where we have liberty and freedoms. And we live in Christian countries under the idea that we are given inalienable rights.
Loads of people call me racist for going to these, but I just want to be able to feel safe in my own community, and I just want to be able to walk the streets like my dad and my mum used to without a worry.
Dr. Mukaddam, what is the penalty for apostasy?
If it's an Islamic country, then the Sharia is very clear. Apostasy is dealt with the death penalty.
Thank you. That's all I'm
saying. He plays his games. We play our.
They create this fake paradox of political systems. Is something totalitarian or is it libertarian?
If we start going Islam, is evil and they're all, barbaric and cruel and they're awful to women and blah, blah, blah. We're just going to get into the divide and conquer. What I think we can differentiate that any religion...
Islam is totalitarian.
Yeah, any religion that's totalitarian, we don't want.
There's no big organized Christian movement that's going to put beekeeper suits on women and enslave them and do all this. Exactly. So we have to recognize, where is the real totalitarianism in religion right now? It's Islam.
Have you ever had a single moment's thought about my responsibilities? Have you ever thought for a single solitary moment about my responsibilities to my employers?
This is a concerted effort by a group of human beings who are authoritarian, who wish to conquer the entire planet. What we're talking about here is a lower frequency of existence. And we can all imagine, like, you know, when the Aztecs would be like sacrificing people and the Druids were sacrificing little children. These are low states of consciousness. I mean, murdering people in order to placate some vicious god.
Allah promotes violence against the Jews, against the Christians, against the kafir, the unbeliever, openly. Allah himself is telling the Muslim people to go and kill them with violence. And it's like you're doing favor to God. Like you're doing a supernatural, amazing thing by killing your enemies. And the exact opposite is in the Bible, where Jesus comes, Isa comes and says, forgive your enemies, love them, bless them, take care of your enemies. So it's such a huge contrast.
The West goes to empower women. And then somehow the globalists get women to double back to go to the most Stone Age thing there is.
According to the Sharia, again, when it comes to women, there must be a hole dug in the earth, in the ground, and she must be covered up to the half of the body.
So know this, that Islam will enter every house. Every house.
If we fail to acknowledge that what we're witnessing with our eyes, what we're hearing when they say, Muslim, we're going to take over America, everybody will be a Muslim, we'll be in every home. The reason why I keep banging on about this is because I want to save us from falling into the trap of divide and conquer. I know that there has to be Muslims out there that understand what I'm saying, that move to America precisely because of the libertarian a construction of the American society. Everything that Christ said to us, it's all about love. And love ultimately is the act of wisdom to know that if somebody is behaving terribly, you can't counteract it by being equally terrible.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
This is a major alert. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of Tuesday, November 6, 2025. You only have until this Sunday, that's 3.5 days, to take part in the biggest sale ever at thealexshowstore.com. Store-wide, 25% off on top of all the sales, like 50% off on all the supplements like Ultra Methylene Blue and more. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it, they're on the site, and you fund this operation. Now, InfoWars is supposed to be a shutdown. They have a state receiver. Said it'd be next week or next month. It's very close. But regardless, we have the Alex Show's network, and we'll continue on. And your support is funding that operation as well. So get great products and be the reason we always stay on the air at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers as well. So many other deals. Take action now. That's thealexjonesstore.com. The coordinates of 1776 worldwide. We're here, folks. I mean, this is it.
Unrestricted warfare is without bounds. That is what we are in the midst of right now, and everybody needs to understand that.
There's one variable in this fight. It's you. Do you share the articles, the videos, the reports? Do you download the free app and share it? Do you buy the products? I mean, you're crazy. Literally. Do you think I tell you bovine colostrum, great skin, great hair, great libido, so we got the best? Did I just say that? Think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't work? You think I tell you Ultra Methylene Blue is incredible game changer? Be careful with it. It's really strong. You think I'm just saying Irish sea moss is great and does all these amazing things? No. You hear the callers. It changes their lives. My information is cutting edge because I don't want to be the liar. I want to be the guy that's right. I enjoy it. I don't lie about freedom and people and things that matter. I cannot do it. And I'm telling you, our products are kick-freaking-ass. They're the biggest sell ever at theolicshowstore.com. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement you want. That's why it's different. Normally it's buy one, get one free, the same thing. You can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. These are expensive supplements. We have the best, the strongest, the turmeric, all of it. It is the best. Energize me. I am in total commitment against these people. I am waging war against the most disgusting filth ever. And all I ask for is that you empower me in this war. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
This hat and sweatshirt were the perfect gift. Thanks. This is an important message from InfoWars. Stay informed, stay free.
Hey, thanks. I love my new InfoWars shirt, bro.
My new InfoWars gear keeps all the globalists and goblins away. Black on black, murdered out shirt. Love it.
I love my new sweatshirt. And this methylene blue really rocks.